Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, June 10th, 2012.
Turn with me once again to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we will read the verses before and the verse following last week's verses. So we'll begin with verse 14, which is our golden text for tonight. For the love of Christ controls us. Or as the King James has it, for the love of Christ constrains us. And this is one of the instances where the King James translation is better than many of the contemporary translations. And it's because of the word love. In English, love is a very weak word. It can mean most anything. We love everything from apple pie to God. Or, I just love that dress you're wearing. Or, whatever. The King James Version has a stronger word, for the love of Christ constrains us, which is a very strong word in English. And the word that Paul used is also a very strong word. The word that he used, the definition for it, according to the lexicons, is a pressing in on one from all sides. In other words, there was no place, no way that Paul could turn that the love of Christ was not pressing in on him to discharge his ministry. And we'll come back to this in just a minute, too. And as in the others, let us read the context as well. For if we are beside ourselves, it is to God. He's answering some of those who were his critics in Corinth. For if we are beside ourselves, it is to God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us or constrains us, because we have concluded this. Again, the King James says, for we thus judge. In this case, the balance is towards the English Standard Version, because it is not a mistranslation to say that we must judge, but this was his judgment because he concluded this. And this, again, is what the lexicons give as a preferred meaning. Because we have concluded this, that as one has died for all, therefore all have died. And that he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And then going to the last verse in this chapter, verse 21, for our sake God made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Paul's conclusion was, after he carefully considered everything involved, was this, that for we thus conclude, or we have concluded this, that one has died for all. That is, Christ died for the whole world. We discussed this last week, that Christ, God did love the whole world. God loves the Iranians. He loved the communists. God loves every creature whom he created. This is love that we can't really fully comprehend. God loves all, but he cannot just pass over everything and accept everybody in their condition, because that would violate his righteousness and his justice. We have concluded that one has died for all. And in 1 John 2:2, the Apostle John agreed with this. He said, "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And this is why we can have a whosoever will message. And this is what Paul had. He thus concluded that as one died for all, therefore all have died. And the whole world is dead in trespasses and sins, he wrote in another place. So he died for all, that those who live, only those who believe on Jesus, only those who accept his propitiation, only those who accept his claims live, because he said, "I give unto them eternal life, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and rose again." So we have here Paul's conclusion. All died in Christ's death, but only those who believe will live in his resurrected life. And this is the gospel message. Whosoever will, let him come. And then in the last verse of this chapter, let's go back into the next verse. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. For our sakes, he, God, made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And here is a case where nearly all of the English translations fail. I have actually heard some of our own ministers in the past say, "God made Christ that awful thing sin." He did not. If Christ had ever become that awful thing sin, he would have ceased to be divine. Of all the translations who got this right in translation is the New English Bible, who translates it this way: "For God on behalf made him our sacrifice, imputing our sin to him, that he might impute his righteousness to us." Now that admittedly is a paraphrase, but it exactly says what Paul meant to say. There's one other translation who has it right in the footnote, and that is the New International Version, who has this footnote: "Who made him to be our sin offering." In the New Testament, there are in many places what scholars call Hebraisms. This is, though the letters, the words are Greek, the writer was thinking in Aramaic or in Hebrew. And this is one of those cases. In the Old Testament, Well, in the first several chapters of the book of Leviticus, we are given the various offerings that the Israelites were to bring. And one of those offerings was the sin offering. And there, the King James has translated it correctly. All the other translations have done so also, because they call it the sin offering, which is what it was intended to mean. But in Hebrew, the word sin and sin offering are the exact same word. And in Paul's thinking here, he is using this word, and the Septuagint, by the way, the Septuagint Old Testament used it in the same way. Used the word sin, referring to the offering. And this was, as the New English Bible says, an offering of imputation. When the Israelite brought his offering, all of them, or when he brought especially his sin offering, he would lay his hands on the animal, showing that he was identifying himself with his sacrifice and identifying the animal with him and his sin. Though the animal, being not a moral creature, could not be sinful. So closely did this word sin become with the offering itself that the same word came to mean the same thing as a sin, as guilt, and as the offering itself. And the Wycliffe Bible translation expounds this in the same way the New English Bible expressed it. For he, God, made him, Christ, to be our sin offering. For he was the propitiation for our sin, which is another word expressing an offering on the account of sin. So this was a part of Paul's conclusion. Christ suffered for our sin. He, who was totally innocent of sin, as those animals were under the Old Testament sacrifice, he became our offering for our sin. And he concluded that Christ died for all. Christ died for all. And then this was his conclusion, that the love of Christ controls us. Here again, he's using the plural. He's speaking of himself. For the love of Christ controls me, that is, in his ministry, because I have concluded this. The love of Christ pressed in on him on all sides. He had no escaping the demands of the love of Christ. For the Apostle Paul, it meant that he should fulfill the ministry that was given to him of God. It meant that he should go to the ends of the earth, taking the gospel to the Gentiles, discharging his apostolate. And one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised again. This is the constraining power of the love that Christ has for us. To fail to live for Christ, to fail to want to do His will is to fail to realize the depth and the strength of the love that Christ has for us. The apostle felt it very keenly in the word that he used in that Greek word. It presses in on him on all sides. He could turn no way in which the love of Christ did not constrain his action. And again, the word constrain is a very strong word. So he then includes all of us. He concluded that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live, that is all of us, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who had for their sakes died and rose again. We sing a song to that effect, I'll live for him who died for me. And the love of Christ constrained him, and he was telling the Corinthians here that the love of Christ should constrain every one of us. For consider what great love it was that he came to this earth, that he suffered and he died for us. And we have a song that we frequently sing. There's surely somewhere a lowly place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. Meaning, as Paul meant, there is a life for each of us to live. There is a work for each of us to do. And the love of Christ was not meant to constrain everyone to go to the ends of the earth the way it did for Paul, though it has been for many. But it is to constrain us in whatever place we find ourselves to remember the love of Christ, that it should be uppermost in our hearts and in our minds, constraining us to do the will of God. And for Paul, this was just a matter of fact of life. And hopefully it would become a matter of fact for everyone who would live in Christ, all those who would live. And I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again. In the 1960s, I had a customer who became a very good friend. One time we went on a tour together with the professional organization in a tour of Sonora, Mexico. The Arizona Pharmaceutical Association was on a goodwill tour, and they threw a banquet for the Mexican pharmacists. And after the dinner, they were going to reciprocate with the entertainment. So when the dinner was over, they had a bus, a big bus, pull up. And we all of us boarded that bus. And when we got where we were going, we went inside. And my friend looked to me and said, do you know where we are? I said, I think I do. He said, it was a place where no Christian should ever be. And I said, he said, do you think we could hail a cab and go back to the hotel? I said, if we can't, I think we can probably walk. But we were successful in hailing a cab. And on the way back to the hotel, he turned to me and very emotionally said, there are just some things that my Southern Baptist upbringing just will not let me do. So you see, the love of Christ constrains us from doing that which would displease him, as well as doing that which would please him.